start Sunday school with a word of prayer. Okay? Father, we thank you for this day of worship and rest and fellowship. We thank you that we can come into your presence knowing that you give us good gifts, that they are yours, and that you've provided the best gift of all, the Lord Jesus Christ, and through him, the hope that we have for eternity. As you fill us with your Spirit, Lord, we just pray that today, as we open our class, that you would lead us to truth and wisdom, that we would follow our Savior, and that we would walk in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, who has the memory verse? Anybody want to stand up, or you can remain seated. Very close. You get an A for effort, Herman. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody? What? Oh. I think somebody that just walked in would be glad to say the memory verse for us. You want to say it?
And Abel also offered
of the
first fruit of his flock and the fat of his offering, and the Lord regarded Abel's sacrifice.
Very close. Very good.
Why are you not
I can't. Because I can. People would think that I'm. Yeah. I can't.
He's always a teacher.
No. No. Okay. Okay. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions, and the Lord regarded Abel and his offering. Is that it? Okay. All right. Well, so if I can stand up here and do it, you all can sit down there and do it. So just to encourage you to spend some time. It actually helps a lot to prepare now that we're on memorizing a verse that's within the text of the pastor's sermon. It helps a lot. It really does. So I would just encourage you to spend some time each week and memorizing those verses. It's very edifying. Okay, so we're picking up. Does everybody have an outline? Is there anybody that doesn't have an outline? Sure. Anybody need one? Okay. Thank you. All right. We are talking about the gifts of the Spirit. And last week we talked about a compare and contrast between the gift of the Spirit that came at Pentecost and is given to us at conversion with the gifts of the Spirit, which are given to us differentially, throughout our lives by the Holy Spirit according to God's will. And we're trying to learn a little bit more about what Scripture says about the gifts. And we started off, so we have kind of, on your outline, you'll see there's 5 points, the qualities of the gifts of the Spirit, B there. And we talked last week about that they're charismatic, which that reference was from Romans 5, where Paul uses this term for gift. It's charisma. And what I should say is that's not the only Greek word that's used for gift in Scripture. It's one of them. And for the most part, when Paul is referring to gifts of the Spirit, he uses this word charisma. And there's one other place, apart from Paul's epistles, where it's used, and we're going to look at it today, and that's in 1 Peter. But we talked about the connection that Paul is making between grace and gifts of the Spirit. Gift is charisma, grace is charis. And this statement is kind of what we highlighted out of Gaffin's book at this point. Every gift is a manifestation of grace. And the life of Christ, the life in Christ, our life in Christ, can be said to be charismatic. The church is a charismatic organization. That's another way to look at it. So when we talk about charismatic denominations, maybe that's not necessarily an accurate use of that word. That's the reason I'm bringing it up, is we should be equally charismatic, considered charismatic, because we get gifts from the Holy Spirit just as anybody else does. So now we're on to point two. We briefly touched on this. Gifts are spiritual. And what we mean by that, and this kind of, it addresses the spiritual versus secular view of gifts, right? You do one thing and for a secular purpose, you do other things for a spiritual purpose. And I think what we'll see is that all capacities, and this is a statement we made last week, all capacities of a believer that are brought under the controlling power of God and used for his service are spiritual gifts. So now you have to kind of stop and think about that. We tend to think of gifts in a very specialized way, right? If something, everybody has something, but if you have something really good, or you do something really well, or you have a lot of it, it's a gift, right? It rises to the special category of gift. And in Gaffin's argument is that Scripture doesn't really view the gifts of the Spirit that way. And we use the example out of 1 Corinthians 7. Paul in that whole chapter is talking to husbands and wives. And then after verse 7, he says, "I wish that more of you were like me." Well, what's he mean in that context? Single. He's not married, right? But if you look at verse 7, he says, we'll go there, 1 Corinthians 7, verse 7, where he says, "I wish that all were as I myself am, but each has his own gift from God, one of one kind and one of another." And if you just take that out of its context, you don't know exactly what he's talking about. You put it in the context, you know. If you go into verse 8, "To the unmarried and the widows, I say this." To verse 10, "To the married, I give you this charge." To verse 12, "To the rest, I say this." So he's talking about married and unmarried. I don't know. The rest there, I guess, are probably people that, married to unbelievers, so special circumstances. But back to verse 7, each one has his own gift from the Lord. That could be married is a gift. I hope everybody that's married views that as a gift, right? And being single can be a gift. And a lot of people that are single don't necessarily view it as a gift. But you should view it as a gift equally with somebody that is married. So gifts are spiritual in nature, meaning that they come from the Holy Spirit. They're given to us. They don't begin with something that is just a physical capability. It's something that affects our hearts, our spirits, our minds, our whole body. And then I'm going to add right here in this part. It's not in your outline, but this is something I think is very important. We talk about gifts of the Spirit, and it's easy to think in terms of this is the work of the Spirit, and because we have a Sunday school class on the Holy Spirit, we're focused on the Holy Spirit. But really, we should be thinking about these gifts as being Trinitarian in nature. So I don't want to minimize the work of the Father and the Son in the gifts that we have. And if you think about it, the Spirit is really the delivery mechanism. But what did we read in Acts chapter 2 when Peter is talking about the phenomena that they had just seen? We're told that the Holy Spirit was the gift that the Father gave to the Son and is being poured out on you now. So these gifts are from the Father. They're given to the Son. And the Son gives them to us through the Spirit. So it's Trinitarian in nature. And if you turn with me to Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 7, very quickly we'll take a look at. And there's a couple of passages, I think this is probably the best one, that talks about this. And I'll back up to verse 1 in Ephesians 4. I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. So there we see it again. Christ's gift is what's given to us, and those are gifts of the Spirit. Synonymous there. So have you thought about that, the Trinitarian aspect of the gifts of the Spirit? It's something that we should be thinking about. Okay, next point. And we've talked about this, so we won't belabor it, but the gifts are differentially distributed. Not my term. Again, that's a Gaffin term. And what does that mean, differentially distributed? What's that? Okay. Okay. Okay, there's two different ways to think of it. So there are some gifts that all have, right? And the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22 and following, we're all called to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. Now, does that mean that we all have those in equal measure? I mean, if we did, we would be in heaven, right? So varying, let's say, degree or quantity, it just depends on what the gift is. Okay. There are some gifts that are only given to some. Can you think of an example? Pastor. Would you say patience? Wait. It seems that way sometimes, right? The different P word, pastor, right? So a pastor, an evangelist. We'll get to the list shortly. But now, are all who are given those gifts equally gifted? No, to some varying degree as well. So, all right. So, as opposed to what we talked about, the gift of the Spirit, all have the gift of the Spirit to the same degree. So this is what differentiates gifts versus the gift. All right. And since we're going to be looking at the verses that demonstrate that differential aspect, I'm not going to go there now. You'll see the references in your outline. So the next aspect of the gifts, well, I mean, I think this gets to the core of it. Why does God give the gifts of the Spirit to his people? And I think there's a real short answer to that. Yes. Right, for the building up of the church. Is it for the building of us up? Is that why he gives us those gifts? Well, I mean, it's a fringe benefit of it, but the purpose of God's gifts of the Spirit are for the building up of the church. Very good. And we'll look at a couple of passages. 1 Corinthians 12. And we'll start at the beginning, and it goes all the way to 1 Corinthians 14. That's one, I guess, pericope that talks about gifts in the church. So if you turn there with me, we're just going to sample a couple of verses there. And in your outline, there's a mistake. It's not first. So 1 Corinthians 12, 7 is correct, but then it should be 1 Corinthians 14, 12, and 26, or the other two, not 1 Corinthians 12, 12, and 26. So 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And what does that mean, for the common good? Is that, I mean, it sounds almost Marxist, doesn't it? Is it for the common good? Or, I mean, is it universally common? Right, he's talking to the church. And so within the context of this entire chapter, which we're not going to get into right now, that is for the common good of the church. Okay, and then turn over two chapters to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 12. So with yourselves, since you are eager for the manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. So that's a summary command of Paul's. Says, you know, if you want the gifts, then excel in building up the church, which I think is a summary of the gifts. The gifts are really the excellent work of building up the church. And we'll talk about what that means. We're just kind of scratching the surface right now. And then in verse 26, down near the bottom of the chapter, another similar passage. What then, brothers, when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up of the church, is kind of the implication that's not spoken there. For building up of the church. So when we look, now we're going to go into the list of gifts. And we're going to talk about a couple of aspects of what each of these gifts include. And I think the best summary passage for how we should look at the lists of gifts in Scripture. First of all, we know there's two categories right away that are those things that are given to all in varying degrees, and some gifts that are given to some who are called to perform them. But Peter also makes a differentiation, kind of categorizes the gifts. So let's look at that before you look at these lists. Turn to 1 Peter, from glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So there's a lot in that passage that helps to summarize what we've been talking about. First of all, what are the categories that Peter uses to describe gifts?
Speaking and serving.
So speaking and serving, right? So speaking. And another way to say it is word and deed. And I think when we look at the lists of gifts that we're going to look at in a minute, you'll see that each one of them can be categorized as either word or deed gifts. Some of them cross. They can be both word and deed. I mean, if you're a pastor, is that just word? No, it's word and deed, right? So there are some of those gifts that cross. The other thing about this passage is we see that Peter ties gifts with God's grace, and not just God's grace, but varied grace. So we see this kind of this differential distribution concept of God's grace and the gift tied together. So charisma and charis in that first sentence in verse 10. And we also see the Trinity spoken of here as well. The gifts of the Spirit, though not spoken, we know those are the gifts of the Spirit, are supplied by God through Jesus Christ. And we see that they're ministerial in nature, that we're to do them to build one another up. So with that in mind, let's look at these lists of gifts, and let's just talk about it a little bit. First list is Romans 12. And I'm going to ask somebody to read that. And I'd like to just write down the gifts as you read. So who'll read it? Anybody? Troy? Thank you.
Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, we use them. It's prophecy in proportion to our faith.
Okay.
In service, in our serving.
Okay.
The one who teaches in his teaching.
Okay.
The one who exhorts in his exhortation.
Keep going.
Who contributes in generosity. The one who leads with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness.
And that's the end of the... Okay. All right. Okay, let's go to the next list. 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10 and 28. And would somebody read that for me? James, could you read it? 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10 and then 28.
See, one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and two, the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gift of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues.
And tongues is... Sorry, I'm a little bit behind you there. No, I think I've got it. Tongues. T-O-U-N-G-U-E. And interpretation.
Yeah,
Okay, just a second. Okay, how many are in 28? I think that's the, is that the offices?
Yeah, there's apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, healing, helping, administrating. So, apostles,
prophets,
teachers.
Yep.
Doing miracles. Gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of stuff.
Tongues again, okay. Okay. Thank you. And then Ephesians 4:11. Who would read Ephesians 4:11 for me? Anybody? Just 4:11. Okay.
Gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers.
Apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers?
Pastors.
Okay. So, here we go. Just so we can... I think that's the purpose that those gifts are given. All right. Okay, so... The main reason that I'm doing this exercise is to show kind of in one place you see the lists of the gifts. And one thing that I think we have to be careful with is not to view these as authoritative, you know, every gift falls into one of these categories. It's not the purpose of these lists. They're representative of the gifts of the Spirit. In fact, yes. Yeah, I'm sorry. There's the list.
Sit over here. Right here.
Sebastian, can you see it still? Okay, all right. Yeah, oh, you want to take a picture? I took a picture. I can send it to you. I'll send it to you. Okay. Go ahead. Come up here and take a picture. Well, and other than the misspellings that are here and there, like I just see that I misspelled tongues.
Tongues.
What are some other observations? Administration is right here. I just put admin, sorry. Administration.
I know you were. I know.
What'd you say? Counseling. Is that on the list? No, not allowed, Herman. It's not on the list.
And teachers. You're right. It's representative of the gifts that God has given his people.
Yeah. What's the difference between these two? I mean, that's never really been fully exegeted. Oh, yes, I see a lot of hands there. Go. Okay.
It has some difference on the fear of the Lord at the beginning of wisdom and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding in Proverbs.
Okay. Yeah, I'd say a parallel. Yeah. Yeah, James. Okay. Okay. All right. Yes.
I think in scripture tended to use.
Right. So did you hear Troy?
I mean, I think he made that distinction that wisdom is the application of knowledge, but I think scripture often is interchangeable.
All right. I think they are interchangeable in many ways. I mean, there's a lot of verses about wisdom. There's a lot of verses about knowledge. You know, knowledge by itself is not knowledge. I mean, it's not wisdom. But these are gifts. So the gift of knowledge is, again, if for the purpose of what? Why are these gifts? Why do these gifts exist? Are they to make us better Christians?
Edification
of the church. Right. So what good would knowledge do for the church if it doesn't, you know, if it's not wisdom and, you know, it's not, it's just, it's an example that the lists are, you know, they're overlapping. Let's see, exhorting and teaching. What's the difference there? Although in the OPC, we make a very clear difference, right? And so, yes.
My version instead of exhorting had encouraged.
Okay. Encouraging, then I think that's what, John, in your Sunday school class, you spent some time on that word in Jude, that it has different meanings like that. Exhorting could be telling somebody to turn from something. It can be exhort, right? We say interns exhort as opposed to preach. So the pastor.
Oh, same word as paraclete.
Same word. Right. And some of these gifts are bundles of other gifts. And we already talked about that. Evangelists. What does an evangelist do? What's a gifted evangelist? He teaches? What did you say?
Gets everybody excited about it.
Gets everybody excited? He's a pastor? Let me describe a gifted evangelist. We met, and we were on Coronado Island the other night, and out of the blue, Chris Hartshorn just showed up right next to our van, like, what are you doing here? They had been on vacation in Rosarito, and they were just coming back, and the traffic was so bad, they said, let's get off the road, and they went to the same place we went to eat. So we got to spend some time with Chris. From the time we said hello to the time we said goodbye, Chris is talking about the growth of the church in Riverside County and L.A. It's like, you would not believe all the opportunities that we have. And these Bible studies are showing here, and I go to this Bible study, and I go, where are you from? Oh, you're not from here? Okay, let's go to where you're from. We're going to start another Bible study. And it's just, and he's getting calls from John Shaw going, what's next, Chris? Where's the next one? Let's keep going. You know, he has a heart for it, and he has a real gift for seeing how the Lord can expand the church in an area that has 20 million people. And for Chris, and that's just one example, he's a pastor and he's acting as an evangelist. Well, he's an evangelist, I guess, at Anaheim Hills, right? He's an organizing pastor. Is that also an evangelist? Help me out here. Yeah. But he's also a pastor. He's teaching. Yes, there's a lot that goes into each one of these. Now, so another thing we can do is we can say word and deed, that 1 Peter 4 distinction. Which of these are word gifts and which are deed gifts? Yes, Troy.
I have a question. With ones like wisdom, you wouldn't conceive of having wisdom without knowledge. And
right.
Could you have the pastor without the evangelist?
Do you have pastors that are not necessarily evangelists? I mean, I think
like that kind of
right. And in the OPC, we've differentiated to some degree the role of an evangelist in a pastor's in kind of the pastor category. See, pastors, I remember from my Sunday school class with John, is a broad term. Under which evangelist is a type of pastor, right? So, yes.
I was thinking when I became a Christian and I was going to the DP church, it was a mission work, and Tom was the preparatory evangelist. And so he wasn't the apostle to organize it. And that was his job, was to go around the presbytery.
Right.
He just be an evangelist and then move on when they call the pastor.
In the OPC, we don't call those evangelists. We call them regional home missionaries, right? That's Dave Crum for us. He's our regional home missionary, which is an evangelist calling of sorts. Yes, Herman.
Are you saying that all the gifts are contained within your list?
No, I'm not. This is not exhaustive, it's overlapping, it's representative of what the true gifts are. It's not just, not every gift is going to be contained in these lists. So, and that's something we're going to talk about next. Yes, what?
I didn't know if you were going to read this. A gift that I find extremely encouraging on that list is helper.
Oh.
That helps.
I like to be a helper, not take over. And I thought I hadn't realized it was on a gift list.
Well, and that's a good point. Well, and that's what I was thinking. Is there a pecking order? Is there a priority on the list of gifts? Troy.
You have the one person come up into the bridge. Like the more important gifts, keep
the greater gifts.
Right. So the less visible the one, the
right.
Standard to make that second order.
Yes.
If the gifts are for the edification of the whole church, then every part of the body is important.
Right.
From the little toe to the iris to the earlobe to the every part, whether we understand how about using all of those things together for his will and to cause those who are going to be his to know him and for us to bring glory to him, he states that as truth, so we have to trust that that's true.
Right.
No matter what it seems like, boy, would it be great to have this gift. I wish I had more knowledge and I was smarter, but
right.
It'd be better to have less knowledge and more wisdom than information.
And that's a good point. So you don't think that we should, if we have the gift of administration, that we should be desiring to graduate to the gift of, I don't know, teaching or something? I mean, that we should move up this list if... Okay.
More or less different.
I want to disagree with that.
Okay.
Nathan brings that up especially. He says that when you compare prophecy and tongues, prophecy is much more important than tongues.
Yeah.
Because prophecy is for building up the church, and tongues is not, unless they're interpreted.
Which goes...
It puts a priority that way.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, the one passage that Troy was referring to, where it talks about desire the greater gifts, there's an aspect to the gifts. You know, some of these gifts are very transitory. They're very temporary in nature. And those are the ones that are lesser than the ones that, you know, endure throughout the rest of time. And I guess when you look at, you know, a comparison of tongues without interpretation, right, tongues without interpretation is, and we'll be getting into this in more detail. We're going to be talking about tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. Wherever that was, in here a couple times. We'll be talking about those gifts, especially when we get done with this section. Yes, Mark?
Kind of an example, we would not try to start a church on mission work with certain kinds of service gifts, whatever. You would start one only if there is someone who can preach and teach and open the scriptures. If we don't have that, we're not ready to start. So that, there's a sense of priority there that we know that we must have that. And feeding, exhorting gift, it will feed all of the other gifts everybody lives in.
Okay. Troy.
What do you think the proper understanding of that means?
I think we have to look at it in more detail, and that's going to be part of the next section. So we'll do that next time. But we're over time now, and I was really hoping to get to the next section, which is identifying your gifts, but we'll do that next week. So if anybody else wants a picture of the board,
see, I can Daphne. Send it to you. I can.
All right.
Evernote is my friend.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the good gifts that you've given your people in the gifts of individuals to your church, our pastors and elders and deacons, the evangelists, Lord, that you've given, as well as the individual gifts of each member of the church. And we pray, Lord, that you would work in us by your Spirit and your Word to help those gifts that we desire to manifest for your glory, word and deed, that they would grow in us and that we would exercise with our whole heart and mind, our whole being, all the gifts that you give us. We know that you have not left us void and as orphans, but you love us and that you've given us many good things. And we pray that we would use it all to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.